Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
The ball goes up, and there's kind of like the front of the green is up a little higher than the green itself. So I just see the ball land over that dip. It bounced straight going toward the pin. I turned to my dad. I said, "That might be in the hole." So I was 18. My brother was 14. We go walking up to the green. There's nothing on the green. and my little brother, 14 years old, God bless him, runs up to the hole, picks it out of the hole. And he's like, It went in! Which, David, I don't know if you know this, but if you get a hole in one, you gotta pull the ball out of the hole. Everyone's got to think.
Everyone, and welcome back to the Fanatics Podcast. We are so glad to have you, whether you're a longtime listener or a first-time friend. I am one of your hosts, David Magadoff, and with me is my most wonderful co-host, Claire Kramer. Hello, Claire.
Hello, David. Guten Tagen. How are you?
Ooh, is this like small Deutschland Germanic town in Ohio talk?
It's Guten Tag, not Tagen. Oh. Good day.
We're learning.
Good day. Yes, good day. Deutschland.
Good day.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch, ein bisschen.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
A little.
This is a great day because we have on the most wonderful John O. Wilson, who you know as Perry on I Love That For You. Yes, Showtime's I Love That For You, starring Vanessa Bayer, Molly Shannon, and John O. A Raven's Home, The Pole, Jungle Land, Open House, King Richard. John O. is so flippin' funny on I Love That For You, which, by the way, everyone needs to watch that show. It has become my wife and I's one of our favorite shows of 2022. It's just so good. It's like Ted Lasso meets QVC. That's how I describe it. It's the ensemble comedy that you didn't know you wanted for
it's
a kinda QVC
like,
show.
Is it kind of like Superstore a little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of that show.
Not quite as goofy. It's a little more adult. Like, again, it's a little more Ted Lasso than sort of.
Okay.
Superstore is a little more broad. But it's just so good. And John O's so great on it. And I know him from, you know, Groundlings world and just the comedy world in general. And he's the sweetest, nicest guy. He's so funny on that show. I remember he was telling me that, you know, it started off as like, you know, just a possibly recurring character, and then it turned into essentially a series regular role, and just this great, great part that, you know, he threads a needle on that show. I'm giving him some major props because it's a character that is sexually quite promiscuous and ambiguous, but he plays it so it could be something that with a different actor would be maybe a little larger than life and could get a little, I don't know, maybe goofy or slapsticky because of the content that it is. But he plays it so grounded and he plays it so real, and it's still bitingly funny. It's just a great show. I rarely talk about shows like this because I rarely see shows like this. Mm-hmm. So it's just a really nice to see a comedy that actually makes you laugh.
Yes. And before we segue into the podcast, I do want to just sidebar a second that you absolutely must cosplay as Ted Lasso, the character, because with the stash and the glasses, the aviator glasses, and, you know, you got to do it. You got to make a little sign that says goldfish, and you got to go for it, David Magadoff. You
Claire,
and Ted must
is there cosplay for Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
I hope
there,
so.
Well, now there should be. You're going to create
it. There you
it. Go. Yeah. So anyway, yes, a great episode talking about golf with John O. Wilson. Take a listen.
Do you own a golf cart? And if you don't, how many would you like to own one day?
No, I don't own a golf cart. But one day I'd like to own two.
Why two?
You know, if you're having company over, for example, it can get a little cramped in those golf carts. And they're so fun. Like, there's going to be more than one person that wants to drive.
That's kind of you. That's nice. That's,
yeah.
That's nice that you're being thoughtful of there's that many people who are not only coming over so that you have friends. That's good.
Yeah.
And I like that you are offering another cart. And
I mean,
you probably
yeah.
don't want them to drive your cart.
Yeah. If we're living in this reality where I can just have as many golf carts as
yeah,
I want,
we
I
are.
Might as well be generous, right?
Great.
Yeah.
You know, and you bring up a really good point. Always too many people on one golf cart. I can't tell you how many times
yeah.
as a teen I almost tipped golf carts.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
They can be dangerous. They only go 12 miles an hour, but you don't want someone shooting off the back.
Let's just say they're top heavy, you know?
Yeah, we've all seen Jackass.
Especially when loaded with clubs. Okay, today we are talking yeah. about your fanaticism for golf. For someone who is living on, you know, the moon or Mars, where they don't have golf, how would you describe the sport to everyone?
For Elon Musk.
Golf is for Elon. Okay. Golf is a game. It is a sport. It is a gentleman's game.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you how to be gracious, how to compete against somebody else, but to always give respect to the other person. And, you know, on a very basic level, you have a couple sticks, you hit a ball, you try to get them into a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is very basic.
And how long does the average golf game take for you to play? Because I know it varies based on your skill set and your level of, you know, play.
It does vary. Like, when I first moved to LA, I was a caddy, which is the guy that carries your golf bag. So I did that at a country club. And I played behind Mark Wahlberg one day. And I think he probably played in about an hour and a half, which is crazy.
Wow.
He zipped. And a normal round for me is probably, if there's no one else on the course, 3.5 hours
mm-hmm.
is a nice round. But more often than not, it's like 4.5 hours. It's a day. It's a day's event, mm-hmm. for sure.
At least a solid half day, you know?
Solid half day.
Yeah. Yes.
Unless you're waking up really late and going to bed really early.
But do you like it? Do you like that the time just sort of flies by? Is it about you by yourself? Is it about you with as many people as possible? What is the joy of that time?
Because people are
hearing this and going, fuck me, I can't believe someone would spend that amount of time
right.
just on this course.
Now,
and then there are people who are like, this is everything for me.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. Golf is one activity. Within that one activity, there are a ton of other activities that can be happening. So you can have one day where you go out, you play by yourself. That is like a meditation. You know, I like used to do that. I would just go out by myself and just kind of let my brain go and be out in nature. And it's like, great. You can also have a game where you play with other people and they want to gamble. They want to make it interesting. Let's see what your skills are. Then you can have another one where it's like, I haven't even caught up with these people in a long time. We're now on the course. We have a couple drinks. We're having fun. We're catching up. We're talking about the game, but we're talking about life. I mean, it's the best.
And when did you discover in your life the game of golf? Tell me about your first introduction and experience and when you started feeling that best feeling about this sport.
Yeah, what's your origin story?
Claire, that's a great question. So when I started playing when I was younger, and it was, my dad was really like, you need to play golf. I know, you know, I grew up playing soccer and basketball and football. And of course, those were the sports I wanted to play. And my dad was like, just trust me, when you get older, you're going to always have this game. You're going to always play this game. And it will allow you to be competitive in your life for your entire life. And I was like, no, it's boring. And I played football and I tore my ACL. I dislocated my shoulder 13 times in 2 weeks.
Oh my God,
So it was like, so in high school, it kind of took a back seat. And then, but like growing up, my friends and I would play and we would even play in tournaments and stuff, but I just didn't have the patience for it.
Can you give me the age that your father first was telling you about this and specifically where in America? Because that gives me context. Because I'm like, is this Michigan? Is this Tallahassee?
This is Worcester, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. New England. Very golf oriented.
Typical New England town.
Yeah.
And
green.
He probably, there wasn't one age when he told me. He told me when I was 5 and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he told me again when I was like 12 and I was like, please God, no. And then like in high school and I was like, dude, I want to go to the school dance and meet a girl. Like, give me a break. But then like after college, I kind of, you know, I moved to LA, you know, 3 years after college. And my cousin said to me, you know, you should really caddy out there as like a side job while you're pursuing acting. And I was like, oh my God, you can play golf in LA year round. And so when I started doing that, we could play for free at this really nice country club, LA Country Club, twice a week. And I would just kind of, while I was trying to figure out my life and what I was going to do, I would just zip over there at like 3:30 in the afternoon and just play around by myself. And it was at that moment where I really realized that doing this activity allowed me to let all the noise go away, all those negative thoughts or worries or anxieties. And I could just be out there by myself and kind of just stop worrying for a minute, you know? That's like when
it was meditative.
It was meditative.
Contemplative.
It was contemplative.
It's so pretty. It's just such, you're on these giant fields of green. No one's around. And I get it.
Yeah.
But what's funny is you're talking about competition. And so is this just something that you, like your dad was saying, you know, this will keep you competitive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not everybody needs to be that way. Claire's going, I get it, because Claire, as we know, is the most competitive person in the world and will turn everything into a competition. But that is not, for people who aren't Kramers and I guess Wilsons, like, what is this something a part of your family that's always been? Like, because my family has, that would never be a thing. Being competitive is not a quality on the family crest.
Yeah. No, it's definitely on the Wilson crest. It's on the Wilson crest because, you know, the other thing was, one of the things I learned when I was younger was how important team sports were for me, because it helped me to figure out how to deal with different personalities and what you're, you know, you're like a cog in the wheel and what are you supposed to be doing. So competition was always there just because my brother and I always played sports. But when I talk about competition with golf, you know, either you're doing the gambling thing with friends and you're saying, all right, you know, I'm beating you by a couple strokes and you owe me $20 or whatever. Or I think that like kind of testing yourself is one of the things I love about it. It's like a competition with yourself. The only person that really you're trying to beat is the last version of you. You're just always trying to improve upon yourself. And I think that like, I just think that golf is really a microcosm for life in that way. It's always, you know, learning from your mistakes, practicing, trying to get better. And, you know, on the days when you have a bad round, the only person you can blame is yourself. And the days when you have a good round, you walk out of there like you're the king of the castle, you know? And I think that's like, it's just such an, it's empowering. And then it's also the worst thing in the world, because you just feel like you're a complete loser.
And if there's one thing I know about golf, at least for me, like as much as I think I am going to be a predictable player on days, I am completely not predictable. You know, you can go into, I can play evenly and nicely for months and months and months. And then someone's like, hey, play in this tournament with me. And I'm like, absolutely, I'm a great player. And they get out there and
you're just terrible.
Blow it, you know? So there is, you can't lose respect for the game.
Yes, yes. I have voicemails on my phone. And like, it's another thing you can connect with. If somebody else plays golf, you can have a billion conversations because you've both been through it all. mm-hmm. you know? And it's something to really connect on. I have voicemails on my phone from my parents. One is like my mom saying, I broke 100 today and I'm going to dive into a bowl of wine. Like legitimately said that. Like I am just gonna party like it's 1999 because that's what I shot on 99. And then
Worcester.
And then I have one, yeah. And then I have like one from my dad who's like I actually talked to him on the phone last week and he was like, oh, your mother just got home and we're going to have to tie her to the chair because she's gonna commit suicide. She played so bad today. It's like, you know. The ups and downs. But you keep coming back.
You keep coming back. I think, first of all, I want to ask you about a hole-in-one. So let me ask you that. Have you gotten the elusive hole-in-one? I have not.
Yes, I have. Oh! Yes, I have.
How many have you gotten?
I've gotten one. Mm. It was...
That's all you need.
You want to talk about, like, New England, July 4th, playing with my parents and my younger brother. I hit a... 8-iron, it's a 170-yard hole. It's my summer going into college. The ball goes up, and there's kind of like the front of the green is up a little higher than the green itself. So I just see the ball land over that dip. It bounced straight going toward the pin. I turned to my dad. I said, that might be in the hole. So I was 18. My brother was 14. We go walking up to the green. There's nothing on the green. And my little brother, 14 years old, God bless him, runs up to the hole, picks it out of the hole. And he's like, it went in! It went in! Which, David, I don't know if you know this, but if you get a hole in one, you got to pull the ball out of the hole. That's like the whole thing.
So he ruined it for you. He ruined that moment for you. We hate him forever.
No.
Okay.
No.
You just hate him because we just normally.
You just went. You just went. I love it.
Yeah. I'm an only child, so I have no sibling rivalries. I'm trying to make them happen.
No. No, it was more like, you know, he was so excited for me. It mm-hmm. was kind of sweet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you keep that ball forever? Is it like enshrined in like a small glass box in the house?
You know, it's funny. Okay.
He's grabbing something.
So I have my... Wait, can you hold on 1 second?
Yes.
Oh, we'll hold on.
1 second.
And yeah. This is going to be not even any seconds for you.
All right.
He's running.
Now, this was a Christmas present from my dad the following year. It's the 8-iron I use. And it's engraved. So it says... 169 cool. yards, eighth hole, witnessed by Jim, Mary, and Peter Wilson, Worcester Country Club, 7403.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So, and did the Country Club also put your name on the plaque? Like
Oh
yeah, that's like the most.
I'm on there.
That is the most important
Forever.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah.
To get that name up there.
Wow.
I love it.
Yeah.
And that you did it with the 8-iron. That's my favorite. I like shooting with the irons off the tee, but. Part of that is because I have better control. Now that I'm older, I can, you know, shoot with other clubs, but I really like the irons. Like when I learned to play, I shot with the 7 off everything.
The 7 is a great middle of the road club.
Yeah.
Right? You can get some distance out of it, mm-hmm. but it's got enough loft that you're not going to be spraying it left and right.
Right.
You know, the funny thing was, so my brother was 14 when that happened and I used the 8-iron. It was 169 yards. And my brother, after that, he's 4 years younger. After that, he would only use an 8-iron on that hole. And he would come up like 30 yards short. And my dad would be like, what are you doing? And he was like, I am not going to get a hole in one on this hole with a 5-iron. I am using the same club as Jono. I would never be able to live it down, you know? Which is another funny thing. I really find that, especially men, if you can hit a long drive, guys are just like, you're cool. Mm-hmm. You're cool, man. You can hit it far. You're a cool person. I want to be your friend. It's like incredibly simple.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Are you someone who will take people like on their first golf tries, or do you only play with people who are, you know, experienced in some way?
No.
And also, this let this go into the question of how often do you play currently, Jono?
Yeah, okay. I usually play about once a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. But I'll play with anyone, really. You know, I have a couple friends who recently started, and I live right near a little par three course. And so we'll go out there and they're just kind of learning and asking for tips and stuff. And it's great. I just like find that, you know, so often people are like, well, let's get a drink and catch up or something. It's like, if you could catch up on the golf course, it's there's no pressure. It's kind of just enjoying the day. And then conversation naturally comes up, you know, which is just another aspect I love about it. So like my friends and I will kind of catch up playing the par three. It's like that only takes like an hour and a half.
No, I totally agree with you. To me, even like with dealing with my kids or like when my father taught me to golf when I was very young as well. Same reasons. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
It's just what you did. That was where business took place. That was where, you know, socialization. That was the Saturday family event. So I find that it's a really great time to have difficult conversations. Like if I need to talk to my daughter or if I need to talk to my kids, I'll take them out, you know, just even on like a front nine or something. And just I'll be able to talk to them without actually having to look at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it just gives, it's like a warm blanket, you know, you can.
Yeah, there's no awkward silence.
Right. You can just, you've got that activity that is going on in the background and it's a good catalyst for getting in. Like that's why I think so much business is done on the golf course as well, because it's no pressure.
Yeah.
It takes a couple hours. You could work out a deal. So I'm a big fan for all the same reasons.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was also a reason why my dad was like, you got to play golf, because at that time we weren't thinking, you know, when I was a kid, we weren't thinking that I was going to move to LA and be an actor. It was, you know, and I did graduate college and I was a consultant in DC for 3 years. And it was nice because, you know, the bosses at the company would be like, oh, we have a round. Jono, you're coming with us, you know? So I would be like, see you guys.
Okay.
Like, I get to go play golf with the big wigs, you know, which is great.
So here's my follow up to Claire then, because Claire made a great point, right? Business and a lot of work gets done. And obviously you can do so many things in this lollygagging sport in like the best kind of way.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, now that you're on a show, Jono, have you reached out? Or has your PR people reached out and have been like, it's like the first thing now that you're mildly famous. Are you able to say, get me into any celebrity type golf tournament that you possibly can?
Yes, that's like just done legitimately that? The dream of my life is to play in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like started by Bing Crosby. There's so much history. You know, I would just love to do that. And yeah, we're working on it, man.
Good.
We're working on it.
I bet there's a million. I have a friend who was like a recurring character on The Middle. And she's like, And she started, she was like 19, and they would fly her. They still, I think to this day, it started then, and she still gets flown out to like Iowa to some golf tournament that she's terrible at it. So I'm like, if she can do it, like, Jono, there's got to be like tournaments
that
everywhere.
That gives me so much hope. That gives me so much hope. Yeah. I'm, fingers crossed, once season two is announced, I'm going hard on the PR campaign in the golf circuit. Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, you know, I did an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm, you know, there with Larry, and he's a huge golfer. And I was just like, I gotta just move this conversation to talk about golf somehow.
Did you?
I didn't. I was like,
well, there's a bunch of the episodes are at the country club.
I know. Like maybe he'll invite me to be in a foursome or something. Like,
you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. So life is long and paths cross many times.
That's right. Yeah. I had a when I was caddying at LA Country Club, one of the guys who I caddied for, great guy, he requested me one day, and he knew that I was acting. And so I get called up, which never happened because I was like at the bottom of the totem pole at that club. And I got up there and he said, you're taking that bag. And it was this huge orange bag. And I was like, whose name is that? And it was Will Ferrell. And wow. So I caddied for Will Ferrell. And
this was actually
kind of crazy. So I caddied for him and I thought, you know, I'm just going to let him have his round. I'm not going to talk to him about the fact that I'm doing the Groundlings or that I auditioned for SNL or any of this stuff. And at about the 12th hole.
That's wild that you wouldn't say any of that. I would totally figure out as if I could, because it's genuine and it's authentic, and I think he would appreciate it. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the member was like, on like the 10th hole, he was like, hey, if you talk to him about anything, I was like, no, let him just enjoy his round. He doesn't want to talk to some kid about this stuff. And so the member was like, I'll say something, and he never did. And so on like the 12th hole, Will hooked a ball, hit it pretty far left. So the two of us are just kind of walking, and he looked over at me and he said, what else do you do out here? I said, I'm an actor. And he was like, oh, that's so exciting. Do you have an agent? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, that's amazing. Are you doing comedy or drama? He was so genuine and so nice about it. And of course, then I talked to him about the Groundlings and stuff. And he said to me, listen, if you have any questions about anything, the rest of the round, just ask. I'm happy to talk to you about it. It was really generous. And at the end of the round, he gave me a nice tip. He said, listen, you're throwing darts at a dartboard. Keep throwing them and they're going to start to stick. And he gave me kind of a bro hug. And I was like, this just made my life. Like, this was the coolest thing of all time. So then fast forward to being on I Love That For You. And I know Molly Shannon and here's friends. So I tell Molly that story. And like a week later, Molly sends me a DM and she was like, I saw Will last night. I brought the story up to him. And he said, congratulations and hi. He remembers the story. I was like, what? That's just so, that was like such a, you know.
That's so awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
He seems like such a nice guy. He's mm-hmm. a sports dude. I've seen him. He's very into LAFC. So.
Yeah. Great dude. But like that, you know, because of golf, I have that story because I love the game and I wanted to work, you know, in the game in some capacity while I was, you know, living my dream. And I have that story because of it, you know.
Do you use a caddy now? Or do you, and what is your, like, we talked a little bit at the opening about carts. I know that cart versus walking is a big thing. What is your preferred method? Or does it vary course by course? Or day by
Claire,
day?
Claire, I am a purist. If you can walk the course, I'm walking the course and I'm carrying my own bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's my deal. But there are some courses that like you just can't walk. They're just too treacherous. So you have to take a cart.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I prefer to walk.
I prefer walking, but I do like the fact that golf is something you can play into your 70s and 80s because you can then transition to the cart, you know? So
it's
designed for everyone.
Equal
opportunity.
Yeah,
it really is.
Jono, people that you fancy, are these people that you need them to be in love with golf like yourself? Or are you okay that this is your thing and your other your other halves when you have them, that they are like, whatever, sure. Are they like, do they need, if they're into it, are you into it?
So, you know, my girlfriend had never played golf before. And I was like, you know, I love to do this. I grew up, you know, when we did family vacations, there were four of us. So we would always play golf during the vacations, which was also a nice thing, you know, like love my family, very close to them. It's nice when you can have like an activity instead of just looking at each other and, you know, picking fights or whatever. But so I said, you know, you should look into it, like see how you do. And we went to the range and she was hitting some balls and she was crushing them. I was like, this is going to be great. We're going to be able to take trips together and play together. I bought her some lessons. The teacher completely screwed her up, just completely screwed up her swing. Mm. She kind of lost it. And now she's like, no, it's not for me. Oh. Have it be your thing. And to be honest, like either way, I'm happy. Really, either way, I'm happy. I don't want her out on the course being like, why did you bring me on this stupid course to play this stupid game, you bastard? I am happy that I can go out with, you know, my buddies and play and come back. And, you know, she always says to me, you better shoot under an 80 or you got chores to do at home. You got chores. So at least
she knows the language.
She knows the language. She's getting there. Yeah.
I love it. What is the craziest weather condition you've played in? I've played in like near hurricane, yes. I feel like. And just that desire to complete. I'm a completionist. Yeah. So the desire to complete, yes, is there. What is your status with that?
I'm right there with you, Claire. We're peas in a pod. Competition and finish what you started. I feel like that's our motto. So like I said, I would take trips with my family and we went to Ireland 1 year. And, you know, when you think about playing golf in Ireland, it should be rainy. It should be windy. And we played one day where it was literally like, it was a monsoon. The wind was insane. We were soaked head to toe. But I like really enjoyed it. We all played terribly. You can't play in that weather. But it was like, you know, the scene from Caddyshack where the bishop is playing. It's like, I don't think the heavy stuff is coming down for a while, you know? But I actually played like 3 weeks ago on a course in Simi Valley, and there was legit lightning in the sky. And the four of us were like, they haven't rang a bell or anything or told us to come in, so let's just kind of keep playing. And the ranger, the guy that kind of makes sure everything's going well in the course, came by and he's just like, hey, just watch out for the lightning. And he drove off, and I was like, what the hell does that mean? Just dodge the lightning. Just dodge it.
That's just them covering lawsuits. It's just like, we said something.
Yeah, right. We told them there was lightning.
I said it.
It was their choice. Yeah, for the love of the game.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I, in high school, was a part of the golf team freshman year, and I completely relate to your girlfriend. I thought I was half decent. Then I joined the team. They like kind of helped teach a little bit, and I got was worse. I got worse, yeah, and worse, and then I was like done with it. I am your girlfriend in this story.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I need someone to get me out of it. Yeah, I'm totally. To, yeah, I need you to help me one day.
Well, I'm happy to. I'm happy
Great.
To. But I do think, especially when you take lessons, you have to get worse before you get better. It's always weird. It's like, but again, microcosm for life. It's like if you're not going through a tough period of time, you're not going to get to the other side. You're not going to evolve, you know, as a human being.
Your girlfriend and I were probably doing it the poor way, and so then we were being taught the right way.
Exactly. You're a very, and that's hard to yes, change. Yeah.
It's like anything else. Like, you know, I always say this about kids, like right when they're about to evolve to that next level of maturity or that next like physicality level, they dip back. And then they go, and it's like that with sports too, especially golf. Like that's what I was saying. You can play consistently and great for a long period of time and then you start sucking. And I'm always like, okay, that means like in a few weeks, I'm going to get really good again.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like you were saying that earlier too. And it's like,
yeah.
And again, it's that thing of, am I capable of pushing forward through this tough time? Am I capable of, you know, do I have it in me? Like that testing of yourself, which I hate in the moment when it's happening, but you kind of have to think in the back of your head, this is a growth period. I'm going to get better. I mean, I experienced that so much just doing the Groundlings. It was like I would hit a moment where I'd say, maybe I'm not funny. And it would be a terrible time. And then all of a sudden I'd get to the other side and I'm like, I'm funny. You know, like it really would kind of, you'd backtrack and you'd get better. And it's like, it's so relatable.
No, so completely. Now, my father, your father, they are the East Coast people who taught us. Will you do the same for your children? Will you say, listen, I feel like it's something they have that my children must learn, just like typing. But I'm curious your perspective.
For sure. I mean, just judging by, listen, when I played with my family, we have these great memories, like the hole in one, you know, that all four of us were there for. We have these, went to Ireland together and played golf. I mean, we've seen beautiful, beautiful things in the world and we've done it together. And it's kind of because we have this shared experience and shared love of the game of golf. And I wouldn't give back those memories for anything. And then, you know, getting older and last year I went on a golf trip with my cousins and my brother. It's like a great way of staying close with people you care about too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely 100%. Do that. Yeah.
Yep.
We never even talked about watching golf or the sport of golf. We talked about you golfing. Are you someone who watches? Do you have a favorite player or players? Like, do you find yourself on Sundays just watching the last rounds of stuff?
Yeah, sometimes I will. Like on Sundays, I'll watch. I mean, of course, the majors. I love watching the majors. Like, I mean, when you hear the music for the Masters come on and Jim Nantz saying April 7th, it's like, oh, God, yes, yes.
There are people listening going, what's a Jim Nantz?
What's a Jim Nantz? he's a commentator. So I love watching those things.
Who went to my high school?
Did he really?
Jim Nantz went to my high school in Marlboro, New Jersey. That's my one famous person.
That's pretty cool. Did he come speak at your graduation or anything? Or he just left Marlboro in the dust.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. kicked his shoes off. Yep.
So yeah, I'll definitely watch. It's a nice, again, you know, I think, I don't know what the hell Prop 27 was, but I definitely gamble a little bit. And so I'll throw, tell us what's going on. Cause there's one commercial. It's like, don't you dare vote yes on Prop 27. And the other one's like, you gotta vote yes. And they give no specifics, but there's gambling involved.
John, is this a thing we can have you back for political advertisements? Please tell me this is like a 100% we can have. Great. Okay. We'll have another 30-minute convo about deep diving into your love of political ads.
How many times do you spend 15 of the 30 seconds thinking, oh, this is pro this person? And at the end, it's like, never. You know, it's like.
It's very, I agree. It's very convoluted and confusing. It's definitely another podcast topic.
Yes. So watching golf. Yes. I like to do it. I like to gamble on it. I'll throw some money on some guys. Cameron Smith right now. I love him. The guy's got an unbelievable short game. It's like watching someone's hands move through the club and just buttery little chip shots. People are listening are like, what the hell are you talking about? But man, does that bring me joy.
I love it.
Before we wrap, I do have one question. You answered it, I think, but I'm curious because you're so thoughtful.
To go deeper.
I feel like I'm curious. I always like to go just a little. I like to go as deep as I can without being too invasive. The question I have for you is the why question. So you said, you know, it's good that, you know, when you're on the course, it's a lot of life lessons. It's John O'Wright. It's about, you know, bettering yourself and competing against yourself. And golf teaches you so much about yourself and about, you know, getting ahead in life and moving forward and stuff. Why do you think that's such a value to you? Do you think that, because again, some people, don't need to accomplish anything in life. Some people's success is just having a family and a good job and putting food on the table and calling it a day. And like, that's great. Like, I love that. So what is it for you, do you think? Do you think it's a family thing or do you think it's a personal thing that this drive to better oneself is so important to you and golf represents that?
Well, I think, you know, I agree with you. Some people just want to play golf on the weekend because it's an activity to do. And I think I put a lot more importance in it, especially because being in this industry, it's so, you know, you can be overly consumed by what's going on in your life and if what you're doing and everything. And I kind of use it as an escape. Like when I look at, I'm going to play on Friday and I think, oh, beautiful. I'm not going to be looking at my emails. I'm not going to be wondering if I'm missing out on something. I am just going to be fully zoned in on playing this round of golf. And that is going to bring me joy, even if I play like a complete ass.
It keeps you present. I love
it. Keeps me present. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. All right, sir. If you'd be so kind to regale us with a little love letter to this beautiful, beautiful sport. Not the beautiful sport. But a beautiful sport.
A beautiful sport. Dear golf, thank you for the life lessons you've given me. Thank you for being there even when I decided to leave you for a few years in college. Thank you for always remaining steadfast and waiting for me to return to you. And thank you for the memories you've given me with my family and friends. And thank you for that hole-in-one on July 4th, 2003. Love, Jono.
Love, Jono.
Amazing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's true, though, Claire. I joined the golf team in high school, and it just made me not ever want to do golf again. And I feel like that's sad because there was a time when I enjoyed it, but that was a long time ago. And I wish I had the same verve that the two of you had because you guys love
it. Well, but what is your dissuadance towards golf? Like, we didn't really identify that. Is it just you're not good at it, or is it you don't like walking?
Yep, that's it.
Or you don't like carrying just heavy things around on your back, or you don't like plaid, or what is the deal?
I wish it was just apparel. I just wasn't very good, and it's frustrating to do something, especially how long it takes. You're like, if you're not good at it and then you're doing it for that amount of time, it's just this sad thing.
But I wonder if you didn't have proper, like, instruction intro to golf. Like, did you just go out and try to, like, play? Or have you been to the driving range? You can go to Top Golf now and learn, which is really amazing and fun. I do not work for Top Golf. I'm not, and I don't have an endorsement deal with them, but I do
not
love
yet.
The concept. Not yet.
Not yet.
All I need is another thing in my life right now. God help me. Can we just have someone on here who's like obsessed with organization? And like, I guess I always end up wanting to do whatever the subject of the podcast is. So, like,
we need Giselle back. Remember that conversation with Giselle?
I need Giselle in to, like, Giselle move in with me for a few months. And, like, maybe the nanny from that show, The Nanny. Like, these are the people we need to have on our podcast right now. Not golf.
All of a sudden, we're going to have a campaign. It's just going to be a... It's just going to be a bunch of like cleaning people and people are great at spreadsheets. It's like, Claire, who are all these people? They're, none of these people are famous. You're like, no, but they're important.
They're important to me. No, but your intro to golf, what was your intro? Did you just go out and try to play? Because that doesn't
kind
work.
Of. Yeah, I don't think they really taught us very well. So I definitely could use some legitimate lessons.
Well, and also if you try to like start hitting with your drivers, you're gonna fail because it's just too much of a club for someone of your stature starting out, you know. So like we talked about the irons. Like, I really believe the best way when I teach someone is to start with the seven and like play the whole course with the seven iron. You're obviously not gonna make par, you're gonna go over by several, especially because you're a new player, but you're not going to have the frustration of not being able to direct the ball in the right direction, you know?
Claire, I love how you know everything, and I mean this in the best possible way.
What do you mean? I don't know everything.
I mean you just do. Like, you just, like, I did not know this at all about you until today, this golf thing. Like, anything competitive, it's so charming. It's charming AF that you just, like, if it's competitive, Claire Kramer has done it, and here's how and why. It's very charming.
I'm definitely someone who likes to win.
I know. It's consistent. I think that you're a completionist like I am. I feel like Claire Kramer is a completionist, competitive person. You can compete at it, Claire's done it, and it makes me happy.
Well, I like to make you happy, and I like to make our listeners happy too.
Yes.
We love hearing from you guys. So if you want to drop us a line, we are Fanatics on Twitter. We are fanatics.com, where you can find all our episodes from A to Z, from G, golfing, to S, supermarkets, supermarket sweep, to be specific, or Trader Joe's, T, S, T. We should do an alphabet run of Fanatics at a different time. But for today, sharing is caring. That's our other tagline. So please share the show with those you love. And until next week, you know, get out there and golf. And before you guys go, coming up next week on Fanatics, Amber Benson. Yes, Tara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She's also been on Supernatural and pretty much every like other film and television series in the entire world, because she's been doing this since she was tiny. Amber is an amazing friend of mine, and she comes on to talk about her fanaticism of the study of female serial killers. It is a very interesting episode, and we hope to see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to Fanatics, a Roddenberry podcast. For more episodes and info, head over to wearefanatics.com or tweet your Fanatics thoughts and stories at @wearefanatics.
Yes, that's We Are Fanadicts. Our show is hosted by Claire Kramer and me, David Magadoff.
Produced by me, Claire Kramer, and Kelsey Goldberg. Executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And you can thank Stephen Mudd for our theme song.
Catch us next Thursday for another Fanatics episode.
Want to know what's a ton of fun? Jono Wilson and a hole-in-one. Even though his brother picked up the ball, he still loves him, mistakes and all. Hole-in-one, hole-in-one, hole-in-one.